I don't know if some of you receive CBM Responding. It's a little pamphlet put out, I think about quarterly, from our mission agency, CBM. In it, they're starting to describe a new initiative that they have to help people understand more about how work and faith meet together. And to introduce it, they start with a story of a pastor and businessman who works in Ethiopia. He said that as he started his work, business people were considered to be sinful people, and there was no understanding of Christian or biblical perspective on work. His challenge was to help his church membership understand whole life discipleship, including worship and work as part of what was called for Christians. And it's neat, you can read the full story about how the church has grown and how they have grown in their mission, not only in the church building, but throughout the week. So if you're wanting more of that, you can probably find it on their website or in this booklet. Please ask me if you wanted further details. So with it being Labor Day weekend, as summer comes to a close, we are often considering that cadence, the working year, the start of the school year, and we switch from vacation mode to vocation mode. And as we do, I invite you to ask, does your work matter to God? Whether that be work in an employment situation, work at home, work to do the daily tasks of life. Do you feel like it matters to God? Work is one of the most significant parts of our lives. Of the 168 hours we are given each week, most of us will spend at least 35 to 40 in a traditional workplace, some closer to 60 to 70 hours, sometimes juggling two or even more jobs. So one of the important questions for us to ask as Christians is, how do I think biblically about the work that I do? We all understand that work, that the words labor, work, career, job, and vocation are often interchangeable. But deep down, I imagine that we all long for some form of work, whether it's paid or unpaid, that is meaningful, that matches who we are, and that is life-giving to each of us. We were made for work. In Christian theology, this is referred to as the cultural mandate, the command given by God to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1. Human beings were created in the image of God for the purpose of subduing the earth, ruling over the created order. In the words of J.I. Packer, man was made to manage God's world, and in this stewardship, it's part of the human vocation in Christ. It calls for hard work with God's honor and the good of others as its goal. Labor is one of the most important ways in which we bear God's image, for God is a God who works and creates. In contrast to Greek mythology, where the gods live a life of celestial loafing, the Bible pictures God as a ceaseless worker. As John Stott writes, our potential for creative work is an essential part of our God-likeness. Discovering our true identity is not only about work, but does include our work. Vocation does not mean scrambling towards some prize just beyond our reach, but accepting the treasure of true self that we already possess. Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling us to be something we are not. It comes from a voice inside, calling us each to be the people we were born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given to us by God at birth. And the psalm speaks so beautifully of how God has known and created each one of us in our unique ways. Charles Rigma describes the cultural mandate in this way. He says, it is joining God in God's caring, sustaining, and transforming activity on earth. The story of Daniel is an exemplar of taking faith to work in a difficult situation. Disaster has struck, and people are wondering, where is Yahweh? Has God forgotten the people of God? The people who have been taken into captivity? The picture of work in this passage may echo with experiences that some of you may feel when you go to work. Babylon is a whole world, a culture, a government set up to run apart from the true and living God. It's set up to run on idolatrous principles and allegiance to false gods. Their workplace is not neutral in religious terms. It is thoroughly anti-Yahweh. We need to remember this because it shows us that Daniel and his friends were able to be faithful in a very difficult environment, a place that was genuinely hostile to their faith. Daniel is placed in a type of vocational training program. The goal of their system was after they were to enter the king's service. God-given talents are nurtured through their focused training in preparation for service. Daniel was what we would typically call a layperson, not a member of the priestly class. He and his friends are highly ranked laymen in the service of a pagan ruler. Daniel and his friends are forced into service of the pagan king of Babylon, and they are confronted with the question, how can they serve Yahweh and the pagan king simultaneously? They're selected for their natural abilities, and they are assigned new names. Can they maintain their distinct identity as servants of Yahweh, even under the pressure where they're changing names and cultures? They refuse the pagan food. Integrity is seen in the refusal to compromise faithfulness to the Torah, even at great risk to themselves. What are the consequences of the ethical choices believers make in the workplace? And how do we choose to live out our faith? God gave both natural and supernatural understanding to Daniel. Recognizing and nurturing natural talents, learned skills, and spiritual gifts. Yet, the key piece to remember here is that God's faithfulness is seen in multiple ways. While Daniel and his friends seek to be faithful, God is the main actor here in the workplace, displaying God's faithfulness. So the story reminds us that even when we are called to work that is not that which we would have preferred, or when our workplace seems unconducive to faith, God is still present there, and God is actively at work in the lives of God's people, even working in and through the lives of people who do not recognize or honor God. No matter where we are, no matter how pagan our surrounding environment may be, we are called by God to trust in God, and to remain faithful to God's revelation of what is acceptable to God and what is morally right, even at risk to ourselves. God shows God's self to be the incomparable, faithful God, even in the small daily matters of life and work. What concerns God most of all is displaying God's own glory for all the world to see and experience. So whatever the type of workplace, whatever the type of work being done, we can live out our calling and our faithfulness to God in and through our work. I want to share with you a poem called To Be of Use by Marge Percy. The people I love the best jump into work head first, without dallying in the shallows, and swim off with sure strokes almost out of sight. They seem to become natives of that element, the black, sleek heads of seals, bouncing like half-submerged balls. I love people who harness themselves, an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and the muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go into the fields of harvest, and work in a row and pass the bags along, who are not parlor generals and field deserters, but move in a common rhythm, when the food must come in or the fire be put out. The work of the world is common as mud. Botched, it smears the hands, crumbles to dust. But the thing worth doing, well done, has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, hoppy vases that held corn and are put in museums, but you know they were made to be used. The pitcher cries for water to carry, and a person for work that is real. So I invite you now, as people who work, whether in paid or unpaid ways, to stand so that we can pray a prayer of blessing on you as you head into this new work year. So let's stand and pray together. Lord God, thank you for each person, whether they've gathered here in person or are joining us virtually. Thank you for the work that you've called them to. Be with them as they go into a new year. Bless them. Help them to be faithful to you. Help them to know your love and your presence in the moments where it feels like every other power is at work. And Lord, may we see your faithfulness most of all as we do work unto you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.